on Jaw Squad. Today is a really interesting episode that I had with Will Brown on some topics, in all honesty, I had very limited knowledge on. They are definitely on my radar now and something I take into huge consideration. Environmental issues are all around us, and unfortunately, so many people couldn't care less about them. As an individual, everyone has a responsibility to the planet and the people around them. So this really is a must listen in that regard. I met Will a few times at the point of recording this and got a very, very good feeling from him from the off. He just seemed very self-aware of everything and everyone around him. It showed through even more after recording this episode. Some of the talks he's doing on veganism and climate change awareness are extremely insightful and inspirational, and I think the next few years for him are going to be absolutely huge. Today's episode sponsor is Fat Llama. Fat Llama is the fastest growing rental marketplace for stuff in the world. It's a website and app which allows people to rent out their belongings to others nearby, fully insured for cash. Fat Llama users are renting anything from film gear, projectors and PA systems to road bikes and camper vans. The platform is available throughout the UK and US and users are earning up to £3,700 per month. I've been using Fat Llama recently to run out my podcast recording equipment and I've actually started to make a bit of money back past the investment that I put in already, which is lovely. It's a really, honestly, fantastic way to earn a passive income. I guarantee everybody has, everybody listening to this has stuff lying around their house that they just don't use. You know, guys, get on to Fat Llama. For me, you know, it really is a no-brainer. On the other side of the coin, how often have you needed something for a brief period of time and haven't purchased the item from a retailer due to the cost not warranting it? Well, Fat Llama provides the solution for that too. If you go to fatllama.com/r/theinspirationspace and sign up, you'll get £25 off your first rental. Guys, this is a good episode. Hope you enjoy it. And I will catch up with you soon. Mate, I just want to say thank you, honestly, for coming down. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no,
I'm actually really excited to hear a little bit of your story and basically a couple of, you know, everything that's going on in the vegan style of stuff. And yeah, I'm excited to hear it. But first, let's start with a bit of background on yourself.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of experience that, you know, I'm really intrigued to hear about. And just, yeah, just give us a bit of context on you and what's got you into the position you are today, really.
Cool, man. Yeah, so my main sort of background, I've been a personal trainer for the last 10 years now. Worked my way up to kind of one of the top clubs in London, in central London here. And yeah, it's been a fun experience. I talk about this in some of my talks I've done recently. I've kind of been a guinea pig on myself over the years, like trialing out so many different diets and training regimes and supplements and lifestyle hacks and all this kind of stuff, as many things as I can to try and find out how we can become the most healthy, sort of efficient,
best
energized
version of ourselves.
Best version of ourselves.
Sure.
And all the way, you know, the nutrition and the lifestyle stuff, and then all the way to doing like a 10-day silent meditation retreat. Like,
I want to hear about these,
mate. going deep in the mind and yeah, all this kind of stuff. And yeah, it's been fun.
It's been a journey. So when did it start? So from childhood, were you always into health and fitness?
I was always into health and fitness. I was always like the sports captains at school. I was sort of an all-rounder. I tried.
What was your sport?
I did a lot of athletics, a lot of tennis.
You got the athletic build, to be fair.
Yeah, a lot of swimming. All-rounder, again, I used to go to all the town sports and I loved it, man. Mm-hmm. Just anything I could do that was active, I'd be there.
So what was your transition from sort of sporty childhood life to getting into the health and fitness sector?
I think it was the only thing I really enjoyed at school. Mm. They were the only classes, like in PE, I would always be so switched on, you know, about learning about different sports and learning about how the body moves and anatomy and all this kind of stuff fascinated me. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when I left school, I was like, I'm going to go into a gym. Like, that's
straight,
where I really...
So you went straight from school into...
Straight in, man, yeah. Yeah, just
university
got in.
University didn't appeal?
Nah, I thought about it and like, I could never really sit down and study for long periods of time.
I wish I'd done the same as
really?
You.
Really? Yeah. And I thought about it a lot and I thought I could go, I got the grades to, and then I thought, why don't I just get some experience? I can always go back and do it later. And then I got that experience in the field and just, I've never looked back. Like, helping people improve their life from day one, helping people be better and feel better and look better. That's so rewarding.
I love it.
You can't beat that feeling.
You can't. Yeah. It was my biggest mistake. Well, I'm not really one for looking back and thinking, wish I'd done this. Well, I did for a long time. That's kind of what got me into a terrible mindset. And I don't think it's a way that people should program themselves.
But if I had to pick my biggest mistake, it would be going to university.
Really?
For sure, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you just said, like I personally was also born to help other people and make them get the best out of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done. You went straight into that, and you've obviously found it very rewarding.
Yeah. But I mean, everyone's different, right? I mean,
yeah.
I've got so many friends that have got amazing jobs now, and they thank everything, obviously, to university. But yeah, just we're all built differently. But sure. What do you regret? Is it like the waste of money?
Oh,
time,
well, it was a waste of money, mate. I used to love going out and getting pissed. and when you're going out and getting pissed, I'm not one that could get the most out of myself.
Yeah.
Constantly being hungry. It was just, I found it very depressing. Like you said, I just couldn't get the most out of myself.
Mm.
And you went into something that you felt that you could get the most out of yourself. Mm. And you went into what, training in gyms, environments?
Yeah. Started in Fitness First in Bournemouth. And then, yeah, made my way up to London and just absolutely loved it. As soon as I got to London, like,
sure.
The amount you're learning rather than being in a small town just accelerates so much.
That's interesting. But you broke the back of it in your early days down in around where you lived?
Yeah.
So, PT, talk to us a little bit about your early days. I mean, you have to hustle in that game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Talk to us a bit about that.
Luckily, I was very lucky because I went into a gym where all the other PTs just became my really good friends. Like, I've heard so much, and the same in London, actually. I heard so much about gyms that are so competitive.
Mm.
All across London, PTs that are taking each other's clients and threatening each other and all this kind of stuff. And I'm so lucky. I never had that. Like, I got on with all the other PTs. We helped each other out. If someone came in and they needed a certain type of trainer, we'd refer to each other. You know, we'd give clients to people
that's
that would
great.
Suit. Yeah. And that's
lucky to have that environment.
It's very lucky. But I think that also teaches you as well that we need to work together. It's so much better if you work in an environment that's collaborative.
100%.
Right? So, yeah. But I still enjoyed it. I've never been like the whole finance side of things, the whole business side of things. That's never been my forte. But the whole helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can get a bit in too deep. People tell you secrets and you become a bit like a psychiatrist sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love
your
it,
side.
Man. Yeah, so I still do a lot of that now.
Yeah, of course.
All across London, in people's houses, in
parks.
So
what was the punt? What made you take the punt to come up here? And at what age?
I mean, I had a girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And she was coming up to London, and I knew I needed to come up here. I think it was definitely going to happen at some point.
Mm.
But then she was up here. Mm. I knew all the opportunities were in London.
Yeah.
So, we just moved up here together. We're not together anymore, but it was the best thing moving up here
for
sure. Yeah, exactly.
You've got to take the punt at some point. If you knew that was the right thing to do, then...
At the time, for sure.
Sure. And what age was that?
That was 22, I want to say. 21, 22.
So a young age. I mean, that's a pretty admirable thing in itself.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, for sure. Like, London's a scary place.
Yeah.
Like, London can be a scary place. And the fact that you knew that you had to do that, take the punt and come and develop as a trainer and almost as a person, kind of speaks for itself. And obviously, that was the case.
Yeah, and you have to be on the ball with it. If you're not developing and growing,
I agree.
London will spit you back out.
I mean, was it a lot of trial and error? Did you, like, when you got up here, I mean...
Yeah, you had to be...
Learn from your failures?
You had to learn from your failures. You had to be a lot more on the ball, like, tracking all your clients'
By
progress.
By the way, I'm not looking at my phone for
No,
text.
It's all good, man. you do your thing. you just have to be a lot more on the ball with it. And then, in Bournemouth, if I messed up, if I ran out of money, my parents are always there. You know, in London, I'm never going to go back to my parents because that, to me, is a huge failure now. Mm-hmm, you know, I will go back to Bournemouth one day in the future, maybe to retire.
Yeah.
But I never really want to go back
Lovely
to a
part
small
of the world,
town. Oh, it's beautiful, man. Yeah. To go back in the summer for like a week or two, you've got the beach there.
It's the dream.
It is.
I'm super intrigued about a lot of your traveling.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that really fascinates me about you. And I've got a lot of friends that, specifically a guy that I've interviewed on the show, a guy called Cy Wiggle.
Right.
And he said that his mind seriously started to develop as a person when he started traveling the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd love to pick your brains on that. What age did this really start becoming an element of your life? And talk to us about some of your experience that sort of triggered you forward.
So, I've always had two passions deep down. There's health and fitness, that's the one I followed, that's my career. Mm-hmm. And then there's the environment and just how we're all living on this blue marble floating in space. Nobody knows why we're here, nobody knows where we're going and what's going on. And we're kind of ruining it. We're destroying this planet faster than ever. So my other main passion is environmentalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so after 10 years in the fitness industry, I thought, I've got to scratch this itch. I've got to go and find out, you know, what really is going on with our environment and what's happening out there. So I got to a point in London, I wasn't enjoying the gym I was in anymore. I kind of plateaued. Mm-hmm. I wasn't enjoying the relationship I was in anymore. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Happens.
And I wasn't enjoying the place where I was living. So all these three things. And I looked at it and I was like, I've got to get away. And I knew I had to go away. And it was just deep down, I had to go. So I just booked some tickets, quit my job, quit everything.
I love that.
And I just went. And most people, they go traveling to go and get pissed on an island somewhere and go to the full moon parties and all that. And don't get me wrong, I did all that as well. The main reasons.
Of course you did.
The main reasons I went, I went and stayed deep in the Borneo jungle at an orangutan rehabilitation center because I wanted to learn about deforestation and why we're cutting down the forests at such a rate. And I went and got my diver's license and started studying all the coral reefs and ocean acidification and all the things going on in the oceans as well, because that's what I've got a passion there. Sure. I wanted to follow that, you know. So it's kind of like a journey of self-discovery. That's why I did the meditation thing as well.
Talk to me about that.
That was the most crazy thing I've ever done.
Meditation fascinates me.
Do you meditate?
Well, I do, but I've never been good at sitting down and voice. So I use something called Inner Peace technology.
Right.
So I put these headphones on every night and it kind of balances my brain waves.
Nice.
But that's the kind of the lazy form of it in a way, because
is that just playing the tones into your ears?
Yeah. 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 So I mean I would that's something I'd love to explore in the future.
Sure.
And that's something that really interests me about your experience as well. I want to hear about that. So talk to us about that and what you've learned from that and how it's helped you going forward, because it's certainly helped me. I mean, I started the podcast off the back of my first meditation experience.
Really?
True story.
What was your meditation experience?
I literally just went in and I did it before I went to bed,
right?
Because it helped relax me, because at the time I was going through massive, terrible periods of anxiety.
Right.
It used to chill me out, and that's where I actually was like, it's something unlocked, and it was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Go and throw yourself forward and just go out and reach out to people and speak to them through a podcast.
No, that's so epic. Yeah. And that's exactly what it did for me. It unlocks parts of the brain that you can't access on a daily basis. Once you bring down all the anxiety and all the thoughts and all the craziness going on in your head, that's what meditation does.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So what form do you use? Talk to us.
So mine was called Vipassana. It's quite famous. So with a V, V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A. And they're free all over the world. They're pretty much in every country. And basically they're just teaching you the method of concentrating on your breathing for the first 3 or 4 days. And then after the 3 or 4 days, they teach you to kind of cut off from your body a little bit. It's a very strange talking about it, and if I heard myself talk about it before I went traveling, I'd probably slap me and say, you're a hippie, kind of thing. But honestly,
so you experienced it?
Yeah, complete life-changing. And it was at the perfect stage in my life, because I was at a crossroads. I didn't really know if I wanted to carry on personal training or which direction I wanted to go, you know? And this just kind of resolved it for me. It resolves so much, but it sends you loopy. You think you're going crazy. 10 days without talking to anyone.
10 days.
10 days silence.
Fuck.
You're not even allowed to look at anyone in the eyes.
Did you speak? No, nothing. Not one word.
Not one word.
Shit.
So it's a complete shock to the senses. If you imagine, since the day we've been born, you're allowed to talk. You're allowed to say whatever you want all the time. When someone takes that sense away, takes that ability away, your mind goes into overdrive. It goes mad. You feel like you're going mad. And I thought I personally was going mad. But at the end, when you're allowed to talk to the people that are around you that have just done all the same thing, everyone's going through the same thing. Everyone nearly quits on day 4, day 6, day 8. They're fighting to leave. It's a suffering. It's not enjoyable. There's a lot of Westerners go thinking it's going to be fun. It's not.
Go insane.
You feel like you're going insane. But then you have... It's a roller coaster. You have moments of, I need to get out of here. You have moments of, this is the best thing I've ever done. This is the reason I'm here, because you work things out. You work out directions. Yeah, with true peace, no distractions. It just helps you unlock
things. What happens if
you
do speak?
What you can do, if you're really struggling and you want to quit and you want to walk away, they say, come and speak to, there's a head monk or whatever. Come and speak to him in one of the lunch breaks, and you're allowed to ask a couple of questions, and he can help advise you to kind of bring you back on track. I thought about doing that, and then I thought, no, I'm just going to work through it myself. Just power through. This is the reason you're here. It's a test.
Sure.
You know? So I 100% recommend it to anyone.
Definitely. So you did that?
That was in Thailand.
Okay.
So you can do them in England, but I kind of didn't want an out. I was in the middle of the jungle.
You want to be in the middle of nowhere.
The middle of nowhere. If I quit, I couldn't get back to a city, really.
Yeah.
So
I'd be exactly the same. If I was to do something like that, I'd have to be far away.
Exactly, yeah. So it was good fun. But that kind of, so that unlocked things for me that I should follow this other passion of environmentalism and being kind to the planet and all this other stuff as well.
Cool. So in terms of that, you weren't simply just sitting down doing nothing.
No.
Because there's just breathing drills and...
Breathing drills, and it's hard to explain because there was so much went on in that 10 days.
Well, just a short guy, is there any resources that anybody here listening could go and look at to find out a bit more about?
You can. I would just go on the Vipassana website.
Sure.
And they explain all about it and how it's taught and everything. But now I just use Headspace. Like 10 minutes a night just to help calm the mind, helps me sleep better. Sometimes if I'm working on something, I'll do like 10 minutes in the day just to kind of level myself out.
That's awesome.
Brings you back to a base level, you know?
Yeah, that's something I'm missing at the moment, to be honest. I've neglected it big time since we've opened the gym.
I bet.
Mate, you just kind of fuck.
You're surrounded by noise all the time.
Mate, you've got to be on. And the thing is, you've got to be on all the time. Yeah. And what I've noticed in the couple of times where I've had a bit of headspace, fuck, I'm so much more efficient.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's just fitting it in. Yep. When you're doing 4:30 in the morning to 11 at night, by the time you hit the sack, you are just beat.
Yeah, you're done, yeah.
And there's no time in the day. Well, the thing is, I think there is time in the day.
For sure.
There is definitely time in the day. It's just been organised to do it.
Yep.
It's
what Tony Robbins says. If you haven't got 10 minutes a day,
yeah,
what kind of life's that? You haven't got 10 minutes for yourself.
Everybody does. But they convince themselves they don't.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing. It's just being disciplined.
Yeah.
Just being like, fuck it. I'm stopping what I'm doing. Because you can always... do another thing, But if you actually take the time out, just to give 10 minutes to yourself, you probably realize that half those things you actually don't have to do, and it helps you prioritize.
Yeah. But people say they haven't got 10 minutes a day, but they're probably on Facebook or Instagram scrolling away, you know, 100%. YouTube, whatever, you know.
Exactly. How much time do we realistically spend on Instagram wasting time?
That's it. Fascinating.
Yeah. So from there, meditation, talk to us. Yeah.
So I just carried on traveling and kind of studying about climate change and what we're doing to the planet, and since I've got back, I've you're right.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Since I got back, I've just kind of been learning how to public speak and just trying to better myself and trying to really put myself out there, trying to step out of the comfort zone. I think one of the main things I took from the meditation is to stop worrying about what people think.
Oh, yeah.
That's so powerful.
Yeah.
Once you put down that self-doubt and put yourself out there, you learn so much faster, man. Like, this
it's
is
a
what
pride
I'm learning
thing,
out.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
People are almost too afraid to reach out and ask people's advice because it makes them...
For sure.
It makes them kind of feel inferior. But actually, if you throw the towel out and you're like, fuck it, try and absorb as much knowledge as possible.
Yep.
You almost feel superior in a way because you're acting like a sponge.
That's it. Put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Yeah. That's how you learn best.
That's how you learn fastest.
So
that's the major thing that was holding you back, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is for so many people. So many of my clients and whoever I meet, they're just so worried about what people think in this day and age, the Instagram age.
Yeah.
If you just put that to aside and just focus on being the best version of yourself.
100%.
You know, you get so much further.
Yeah, frees you up.
Yeah.
Have you ever read that book... This subtle art of not giving a fuck.
Yes.
Have you? I haven't read that yet, but James Smith recommended that to me.
Really good.
Is it good?
Yeah, awesome.
Interesting.
Have you read, I took this book away traveling with me, I mentioned Tony Robbins again, Awaking the Giant Within.
Is that his book?
Yeah.
I've never read it.
Mate,
it's a game changer.
Game changer, yeah.
There's so many books, right?
I've just got onto audiobooks. That's helping me out a lot.
Is it?
It just frees up that dead time.
I'm not good at audiobooks.
You know?
I like having physical. Okay. I like to make notes and stuff.
Fair enough.
But I take forever to read a book.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Are you constantly going back?
Well, I'm going back and I'm just very slow.
Okay.
I like to evaluate what... Yeah. I know, I wish I was quicker. Tim Ferriss talks about methods of reading books quickly.
Yeah. He does like drawing the lines on the margins and stuff, doesn't he? Yeah.
That's
cool.
I love
that.
Maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got lost. Where were I? So did this environmentalism lead you into kind of the vegan stuff?
So, like I said, like kind of a guinea pig over the years, just kind of trying out everything. And I thought one day someone said, you need to try like vegetarian now. Like, it's the one sort of thing you haven't tried.
Mm.
And I was like, I didn't want to. Like,
when was this roughly?
This was just before I went traveling. And I thought, I should. I tried it for 6 weeks. I cut out meat. I still had a lot of eggs and dairy and stuff.
Mm.
And, you know, I've been brought up in an environment where meat is life, basically. In gyms, around personal trainers all the time. That means protein, right? So I tried it for 6 weeks and I did. I felt good. I felt a bit lighter.
Yeah.
I felt all right. And then at the end, I thought I should probably try the whole hog now. I should probably go vegan, right? Just to try it out, just as a tester on myself. And I tried it when I was away traveling as well. And it's a little bit harder when you're on the move. And then I properly tried it when I got back to London. And I just felt better than ever. My mind started to feel clearer. I don't know, everything just started to clear. I had quite bad skin as well. And that got so much better. Just for me, you know, I'm not saying it's perfect for everyone. Yeah. Everyone needs to kind of find their own path with it. But yeah.
It's funny that veganism really, it's just such a hot topic in fitness specifically, isn't it? Really? And it does get a lot of hate.
There's a big change happening right now.
It is. It's funny. Like, but I do, there's elements of it I totally get.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just totally get. And if it's a life choice, it's a life choice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you doing it for environmental reasons as well?
So that was my initial thing. And then obviously when I started to see all the health benefits and I started to learn about the animal side of it as well and how we treat animals in animal farming, like nobody really understands what goes on in slaughterhouses around the country now. We think our cows and pigs and that, they're all having happy lives and that. And they're not. They're living in cages, you know. Yeah. And these pigs are intelligent as dogs. You wouldn't go down the street and kick a dog in the face. People would kick off, but we're keeping these animals in cages, you know. It doesn't make sense. So yeah, the whole animal side of it, the environmental destruction is huge. People don't realize, and that's what I'm doing talks about, just kind of linking the whole health and fitness and the environmental side. There is a link there.
That intrigues me. So like, I know you mentioned it a couple of times when we've had conversations briefly. Talk to us about these talks.
Where are they happening? Did my biggest one a couple of weeks ago. It was at a festival in London called No Planet B. Sick. And it was the first zero waste festival. So cool, man. Like, the people there are just so forward thinking. And basically they said on the ticket, you have free food included when you get here, but just bring your own Tupperware. So bring your own fork and bring your own Tupperware or dish or whatever, because there's no waste. They don't give out any plates or anything. And all the food was delicious, and they just gave it all out, and all the stalls there, and it had that Ivy Wake. I heard you had Sam on.
Yeah, Ivy Wake there.
Yeah. He was there, and I wore one of his shirts because he's completely.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, he's completely environmental,
sustainable.
Isn't he? Sustainable. So yeah, it's
so funny. He's a co-host in the show.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I listened to it. Yeah, he's a good guy. But it's 250 people there, and I was just trying to basically break some stereotypes on vegans. You know, they can't be strong, they can't be fit, they can't be healthy as meat eaters. Mm. But then I was just kind of up on stage just telling stories of Olympians. Like the only guy to get to the, in the Olympics, the American weightlifter guy to get to the Olympics was this guy called Kendrick Farris, and he's vegan. And when you think about the powerhouse that is America, and he got there, he was the only one. You have to be the best of the best, right?
Absolutely.
People don't realize. And there's all sorts of stories of, there's this lady called Fiona Oakes. She's known as the Queen of Extreme. Right. And she holds five records in marathon running. Like, she does that marathon running across the desert, the 150 miles, Marathon du Sables.
Yeah, yeah.
She's broke records doing that. And then she does the one in minus 10 degrees in the Arctic Circle. She's vegan, and she's been beating men doing it as well. Just incredible feats. People don't realize at all. People think they're lacking, but there's so many out there thriving, breaking the stereotypes. So
it is a stereotype. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what that you're going to tell me a bit about the active vegans, is a little bit about breaking that stereotype.
So that's our latest project. So me and a couple other vegan trainers in London.
Tell us.
So we set up just the active vegans, and we've started entering teams into just fitness competitions, vegan athletes, and just again trying to break the stereotypes. We entered the Turf Games.
How did that go?
Yeah, good. Yeah, really good. It was our first one, but just putting our name up on the board, I think we came about mid-table. Mm. We didn't win, we didn't lose, but we're getting the name Active Vegans up on the board there and shouted out over the tannoy event. Was our form of activism.
Yeah.
And it got people coming over, oh my God, you're the vegan guys.
Yeah.
And we had girls come over, oh my God, can I come train with you? Can I be in your next team?
Sure.
And it started the ball rolling. And since then, through social media, we've been attracting people. There's so many vegans out there, CrossFitters and people that do F45. They feel alone in the fitness industry. They feel outcast. Yeah. And then we're bringing people together. It's actually really exciting.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
I mean, veganism, the thing is with veganism is, there are certain vegans that kind of just ram it down your face.
Yeah.
And I, like, I literally am open to anything. I think that's something that I've always been. I love hearing and reading about different views and doing things. Mm-hmm. It's just when somebody kind of is a little bit judgmental, the fact that...
For sure.
Which I, like, look, it's a life choice, like, cool, but what you guys are doing is completely different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yours is just a lifestyle decision. You're not ramming it down anyone's throat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's you want to, yeah, you're talking about why you are.
Yeah.
And if that appeals to other people, then great.
For sure, yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing absolutely like veganism is an interesting, it's an interesting way to live your life.
Yeah.
For sure.
We're just basically showcasing that you can be like this. You yeah. can be fit and strong and healthy yeah. without harming animals so much, without harming the environment as much. Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. I just think it's people that just make people feel uncomfortable about it.
Yeah.
It's just a bit sad, really.
Yeah. Our kind of tagline for the Active Vegans is to inspire the next generation of vegans. That's
sure.
what we want to do. The Great. Next generation coming up, you know.
It's exciting.
So it is exciting. It is, I feel really like there's an exciting future on
Mate,
the
Mate, for sure. For sure. I caught a couple of posts about it
yeah.
during that Turf Games, and I'm not going to lie, it did intrigue me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. At the time, I didn't realise you were one of them until we first started speaking.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So that's cool. Yeah. I knew about it before I knew you, which is great.
Yeah, yeah.
So it shows that the word's getting out.
Yeah, it is, mate. Yeah, there's a change happening. Like, it's huge.
Nice, nice. And how? What's the? So how are you gonna take it forward? What's the goals for that? What's the kind of next couple of steps for the Active Vegans?
We just want to keep entering into fitness competitions.
Sure.
Keep
doing any events or anything.
Yeah, we're gonna try and do events and seminars, and I'm gonna do talks, and we're bringing together different kind of different stalls and different partnerships with different people, different gyms. We've had like some interest from Gymbox and a few people that want us to come train there and just use different facilities and just link up with as many people as we can across London at the moment.
That's great.
And just try and educate. That's the thing. Like you said, we don't want to shove it down people's throat.
Yeah.
We just want to maybe open people's eyes to what's actually going on in the world.
For sure, man.
You know?
And if it interests people, then that's
exactly.
great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is
that's
exciting.
That's cool, man. The other thing I actually wanted to talk about, obviously you're an F45 trainer at Peckham.
Yeah.
What brought F45 to your attention? I mean, and for you as an individual in fitness, you've got all this experience. What kind of excites you about the brand and what drew you to it, essentially?
I think F45 is the whole package, isn't it?
Oh,
isn't it?
Love it.
Like, if you're in the fitness industry, it's hard to avoid what's happening right now.
It's a revolution.
It's a revolution, for sure. And I was with Fitness First, and they treated me very well for many, many years. Mm-hmm. But they're a very large chain, and I'm not sure how they're going to compete with these clubs coming up that provide so much community, and you're working out in a team and everyone works together and you're high-fiving each other and you're pushing yourself to your limits. Mm-hmm. I don't think other clubs can compete with that.
Mate,
right,
energy
now
energy is just
the energy
unbeatable. The workout, the program, we'll get onto that. We'll talk about, like we mentioned in the past, the sort of anti-bro split kind of thing.
Yeah,
but it is, for me, and it always has been, it's the community.
Yeah.
And the energy that you build in this room is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and that attracts energetic people and passionate people. Like, the people we've got coming into our club now are just so cool.
Like-minded.
Yeah, exactly.
It's special. It is special. I mean, we were lucky enough to, you know, go out to Australia and be interested.
Yeah.
I've spoken about it on the podcast before. But seeing that in its element was just like... It's like not religion, I wouldn't go as far as that, but it's like...
You said it now.
I've said it now. but over there, it's like just a way of life.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, you're all part of this like almost exclusive club and everyone's just buzzing off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly feel like that's just the way it's going to go here.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the way it's going to go, like in like 5 years' time.
You can see it happening already.
Oh my God, 100%.
It's the fastest growing franchise.
Fastest growing fitness franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, mate, it's great. And it makes... It just like it's getting to the point now where people are coming up to us here after all the hard work we put in, saying generally it's the best 45 minutes of my day.
Really?
And as a business owner, you can't. That's probably the best testimony you can probably have.
Is that on your website?
Well, it will be. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But it's great. But yeah, I mean, the programming side of stuff. I mean, what appeals to you in terms of the programming?
Just that you don't have to think, do you?
Yeah.
You just come in and do.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
know that when you get there, you're going to have a good workout, whether it's a cardio day, a strength day, a Hollywood hybrid day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know that you're going to get a good workout, and you know that you're going to go into some smiley, happy faces that are going to motivate you, whatever mood you're in.
Yeah.
You know you're going to be sweating. You know you're going to come out of that room feeling great.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I love the split of the week for me. Like, you're never... It's never like one muscle group getting completely battered and beaten.
Yep.
Like, I've trained for years. I'm sure you probably went through phases, like you said, you're a guinea pig to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing back and buys or, yes. you know, like, you know, quads and fucking, I don't know, you know, just like a standard leg day.
Yes, yeah.
It's just never the case here. Yeah. That's what I love about it. It's just you're getting that volume throughout the week and the results just speak for themselves.
Exactly. Like, and also, you want to be functional in life, right?
That's it.
We only live once.
For sure.
You need to be able to move the way your body's meant to move in different directions and jump on things run up hills and, yeah, that's what it's all about.
It is, man. It is. Like, it's just coming across it. I came across about 16 months ago. Just been a game changer.
Yeah.
Like, just even in my own energy levels, for sure.
Yep.
Like, just the days of fucking put, like, a back and chest. Nah, done.
Yep.
Not for me anymore. Not for me. To be honest, one thing I want to do in fitness still, I will do it eventually, even though I'll probably injure myself in the process. I want to get involved in CrossFit.
Nice, okay.
Have you had any experience
I've
in CrossFit?
I've done a little bit.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on CrossFit? A little bit down in Bournemouth, and then one of my good friends, she's a CrossFit trainer, she moved to Dubai and helped set up a box over there. And on my way back from my travels, I stopped in Dubai and stayed with her for a couple of weeks. Mm. And I was kind of looking to see if I wanted to maybe move there and try Dubai. And I tried out that gym and it's great fun. And like the community.
That's what I like about it as well.
It's really cool community. It's just a lot of people, for the general public, I think CrossFit is a lot more scary. A lot scarier than coming into an
F45. Absolutely.
You know, it's a lot more kind of closed off, I think.
Absolutely. Less intimidating.
But it's just later down the line, isn't it? It's a lot more, I don't know if it's more
advanced.
Developed.
I would say it is more advanced. Than the F45, because the F45 you can scale everything up and down, and anyone can walk in off the street and have a go and go at their own pace.
I
feel like if you go into a CrossFit, majority of CrossFit gyms, if somebody's asked to do a, you know, one arm snatch, it's not going to appeal greatly. It could be a bit, you know, a bit intimidating. But you know, I love certain elements of CrossFit, and the competitive side in me one day will drive
for
me there.
Did you watch the games?
I didn't. Tristan loves the game. Tristan was up to like 5 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, so good. But I want to bring it back just for a second to the environmentalism side of things. Talk to us a little bit about this. I mean, what projects are you working on currently or in the next 12, 18 months that are worth talking about?
And yeah.
So other talks that you're doing as well?
Yeah. So I'm doing more talks at different events across London, just like different zero waste events, and trying to, like I said, merge the fitness side of things as well, so a few fitness things. But I've started when I was away traveling, I made an organization called the Climate Awareness Network.
Sick.
It's just on Instagram, and I just started posting kind of education and awareness on what I think the world needs to hear environmentally, you know, the biggest sort of damages we're doing.
For sure.
And it's grown. I've got like 12,000 followers on Instagram now, like completely organically. And it's just from me just sharing what I think we need to do. And like, I've got a few writers involved now, and I've kind of merged it a little bit with the Active Vegans, just trying to spread the environmental side of it. But so go follow Climate Awareness Network
on
Instagram.
Mate,
sure.
Tell us as much as you can about it. I'm intrigued.
So it's just spreading awareness, man. And these talks, that's really where my passion comes from. Mm. There's not really too much to say about it. I'm trying to get a few like companies on board. I'm an ambassador for a company called Creative Nature Superfoods. They make like vegan superfood bars and like baking mixes and all this kind of stuff. And until recently, they kind of had plastic packaging. And they're doing well. They're in like Asda's and Co-ops and Sainsbury's like across the country. And I said to them a short while ago, I was like, guys, if I'm going to start doing more talks and getting deep into this environmental stuff, I can't really be posting your packaging. It's plastic. It's single-use plastic. You know, I'd be a hypocrite. You know,
conflicting ideas.
And then, I did an event with them recently, and they were like, well, we're going completely biodegradable.
That's brilliant.
And I knew that was kind of my little push
massive.
You know? And that's in stores all across the country. So little steps like that, little wins, make me so happy. Like, I kind of get goosebumps talking about that a little bit.
Man,
like, I made that happen. So
that's great.
Yeah, if I can do more of that, and I'm just following my heart, really. I know that sounds super cliche, but like, I think that's where we thrive. And I talk about this in my talk, like, if you don't know what you should be doing in life, just forget about what people think and just follow that, because that's how I'm growing most and that's where I'm happiest, just following it.
I completely agree.
You know?
I mean, that's like, listening to that instinct is so important.
Yep.
And I agree, I think that's probably one thing I've learned about most about myself as well. Deep down, there is something that's pointing you in the right direction.
For sure.
and very few people listen.
Yes.
It's very easy to go off kilter and get stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
And if it's going to, you hear stories about people, God, I wish I'd done this when I was, God, I wish I'd done, and I never wanted to be that person. You sound like you don't want to be that person.
Yeah, yeah.
If you'd have got down the line to when you were 40, 50 years old and you hadn't listened to that instinct.
For sure.
Devastating.
Yeah. Do you know who, do you follow Gary Vee?
I do.
Yeah. So his whole thing is self-awareness, right?
Yeah.
Is key.
Mm.
And I heard that for years and I never really put it to practice, but it's being aware of what lights you up.
Mm.
What really lights you up.
Mm.
And so many people, they might know that deep down, but then they get overrun by, oh, Instagram says I should be like this, or my parents think I should be like this. But as soon as you're self-aware of where you want to go and what you want to do,
yeah,
game changer.
Mate, you can be unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like taking a limitless pill.
It is. Yeah. It is. I mean, once you know what you should be doing and you get good at it, fuck.
Yeah.
It's game over.
Yeah.
It's game over.
I don't think there's many people who know exactly what they should be doing.
No.
But the rough direction.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever perfect. But
yeah.
Once you're in the right direction,
uh-huh.
It's just so fucking good.
Yeah.
Fire in your belly.
Yeah, yeah.
Something I always ask everyone on this show.
Yeah.
As a last question. So basically, do you know how this podcast started?
I do.
Vaguely.
A little bit.
Yeah,
go on.
I mean, basically, it came off the back of a very tricky early 20 period for me. I lost, I didn't have any direction, went through terrible mental health battles. And this is really a podcast for people in their sort of early 20s, sort of early 30s, just who are looking for that fire in their belly and they're in a bit of a rut and they're just a bit lost and look for a direction. One piece of advice you would give, you would speak to that person and tell them from your personal life lessons, what would that be?
I spoke about this at the end of one of my talks recently. It's to learn to communicate effectively with one another. There's a real helpful book that my dad actually gave me. It's the only book my dad has ever given me. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Best book I've ever read.
What a reaction.
Best book I've ever read. Yes, brother. It's the best book ever.
I've never spoke
about this one on the podcast. So serious? Yeah, fire away.
Okay. But that, like, I read it and it made sense. And I read it again and it made more sense. And I started making notes of it. And that, if we can put into practice that and just being open with each other and being on the same page, never telling someone you're wrong. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
But if we can just communicate as a global kind of consciousness, everyone with each other, how we can help each other, the world's just going to be a nicer place, man. We're all going to live a lot. We're all going to perform better. We're all going to live healthier lives. We're all going to be happier, you know?
Mate, I can't even add anything more to that.
It's all linked.
That's the best description I've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
It's so true. Mate, that book.
That book.
Is an absolute gate. I mean, I always considered myself someone relatively good with people. And I read that book about 3 years ago. I was like, okay, I'm stopping that, stopping that, stopping that. And now I'll make sure, like, it's a consciousness.
It is.
It's a self-awareness as well of the way you behave and the way you communicate with people.
Yes.
If everybody read that book.
Oh, mate, can you imagine?
It'd be a game changer.
It would.
And the thing I love about that book is it was written about 60 years ago.
Yeah, it's been updated a few times
since. Yeah, it's a couple of editions now. Yeah. It's about 11, I think.
But yeah, like, and it still stands true today.
But it's still relative.
It is still relative.
It's still completely relative. It's all about communication. And I think communication is the key.
It is.
So much.
Yeah. It's communication, but it's also selflessness, which I think is so important. Like, we're in such a selfish world nowadays where it's about instant gains. But if you can have a conversation with someone and talk about them, you know, like in their terms and what they're interested in, that is a game changer.
And that's what this podcast is about.
Yeah, for sure.
Honestly, because I was fascinated and I wanted to hear about other people and learn from other people.
There you go.
That book is the source of so many great things. Read that book, people.
Read that book by Dale Carnegie.
Dale Carnegie, what a book.
So whilst we're on that topic, where do you want to be? what really fires you up?
Oh, mate.
Let's throw it back at you.
Mate.
5 years' time.
5 years' time, I want to have... Okay, I have goals. I want to have 15 F45s.
15, wow. In London?
Anywhere.
Wherever.
But I want to have them run the way me interested in running this one currently.
Yep.
I mean, you've come down here for a couple of sessions. The environment is so special.
Oh, mate, electric.
It's electric, but I generally, without sounding like a knobhead, we're changing people's lives.
Yeah.
Like, there are people that are walking out this door on fire on top of the world. And we can't obviously be in 15 places at once.
Uh-huh.
But the way we know the way we want them run, we know the kind of people we would hire to put to make them function the way we want them to be run. And that way we're changing, say we can fit 400 in each site. we're changing X amount of people's lives for the better.
How many innings, sir?
Say we can get, say, just use a rough average of 400
per 400, okay.
That way you're changing X amount of people's
lives. Yeah.
Look, at the end of the day, we want to make money. I'd rock, but I would sacrifice making billions of pounds and making nobody happy to changing those amount of people's lives and making, you know, still a good amount of money, but that's what really drives me.
Yeah.
I was thinking, when you're in the shower at 4 o'clock in the morning, you need to have that thing that gets you ticking.
Yes.
Because if it is not there, or you can't find it, the thing that gets you ticking, then you are doing the wrong thing. And that, I literally used that analogy in the shower. I'll be tired in the shower, and then I'll think, why the fuck are you doing this?
Yeah.
And then I'll remember it, and then it's like, boom, I'm ready to go. Coffee, in, out the door.
Nice.
And I'm pumping.
That's so powerful.
Yeah.
Jared spoke about this. You had him on your podcast,
I think,
a couple of weeks ago.
Love him to pieces.
Yeah, great guy. He words it so well. I've had a few meetings with him recently and just about, what gets you going in the morning? What makes you smile? What makes you get out of bed in the morning?
Exactly.
You've got to figure that out.
It's the 4 a.m. shower moment.
Yeah.
What's the fire? So, I also want to raise £100,000 for charity by the time I'm 30.
Nice.
So I'm at about 20.
Any particular charity?
Well, I raised money for Young Minds last year.
Nice.
When I ran the ultramarathon.
Very cool.
I was meant to do a cycle this year. Couldn't fit it in with the gym.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna do a cycle in the next 3 or 4 years from Cape Town to Victoria Falls.
Okay.
So I want to raise about 50, 60 for that.
Amazing. Yeah. How many miles is that?
3,115.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's a big shift.
Whoa, okay.
Maybe see what you're doing in a couple of years' time.
Yeah.
Come on.
That would be a good shout for the active vegans, maybe.
Yeah, it would, yeah. Bring him on
see
board.
If we can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I'll be a vegan by then, who knows?
Yeah, who knows, mate? Who
Bro,
knows?
Mate, it's been a fucking pleasure to have you on. I would love to have you back at some point, if you're keen.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. No, thank you for having me.
You've enjoyed awesome. It?
Yeah, loved it, man.
Good, man. Well,
good
great.
Connection.
Very good connection, mate. You, this podcast brings, like-minded people together. Simple as that.
I love it, man. Keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.